On this beautiful, sunny day in July, we are here to receive the blessings of Christ. And I hope that your day is full of sunshine and happiness. And if not, we're going to bring some more happiness to it. So just relax. Open yourself up right now just to receive the blessings of Christ. No less than you would if you sat on the patio with sunshine pouring over you and wrapping its arms around you. His blessings are here always for us. It's we who do not receive. It's we who have resistance or doubt or lack of faith to just surrender. And I've got some interesting things about that to share with you today. But let's just get started with our community sharing, because that's actually what puts us together as a community. And I'd love to hear from you. I always do. So we're going to take our first caller right now. Hello?
Hi, Kendra. Hi, it's Diana. Thank you so
Hello,
much.
Hello, Diana.
All the blessings.
Yeah.
I had a vivid dream of Jesus this week, and it's pretty remarkable. I'm really, really grateful for this opportunity. I guess I would like to ask for support and just like physical healing. I feel very, very tired and exhausted from this life change of moving. So I'd love for some support just in replenishing my physical body.
Well, yes, and you've got instant sympathy here. Because I have been dealing with that for the last 10 months. So, yeah, it is a process you will go through. Don't be impatient with it. Rest plenty. And most of all, find whatever it is in your new environment that helps you be the best person you can be, the truest version of yourself. You know, what happens so often, this goes for everybody, is when we change locations, we change jobs, we change relationships, either by gaining or losing, we adapt. We think that adapting is the answer. And it's true, a certain amount of adaptation will be required of us when major changes have occurred. But, you know, you want to do your adapting from the best self that you are, not from a state of stress and trying to conform to a new environment that is really not yet natural to you. I'm not going to say unfriendly, might turn out to be your best place, but it's not yet natural to you. And so it's hard to tell how you want to adapt and how you should accept others trying to adapt to you. But the best way is to be the best version of yourself that you can be. And you might even think, this is indulgent. You know, I came here and when I traveled here, I put all of my clothes in these big wardrobe boxes. And they were stashed in the garage. Well, I had two thoughts that were kind of unhappy about that, because I thought, they're going to get awfully wrinkled, and it's going to get terribly hot. So it's going to be like an iron coming in to iron my clothes. But that wasn't enough to motivate me to open them. I got the motivation one day when I came home from eating at a local restaurant, and I noticed that people were treating me different than I was used to being treated. I thought, well, am I different? Or do they just not like me? No, it's not that they were unfriendly. It's just that they were different. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, you know, I've got to get back to being me. So I unpacked the whole box of clothes and found room in my new closet for that. And in addition to the clothes and some other things, you know, some accessories. And I went out the next time really feeling like myself. So when I exuded my friendliness to them and the environment, it was coming from the heart of my being, and there was a whole different response. I went shopping in the grocery store, and I thought, you know, buying a lot of that stuff, and this is good for me. I want to buy this that I always bought. I was being more myself. It took a while longer to get my energy back, and I'm still not 100% on that. That's why I had second thoughts about being ready for the Blessing Conference in August. And Yeshua appeared to me about a little over 2 weeks ago, and he said, don't worry about that. You're going to be fine by then. You just got to give yourself the nourishment, the rest, and the optimism and focus that you need to be the best version of you. And I said, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to do that. So that was my regimen, Diane. And I pass it on to you or to anybody else that's going through adjustment. Don't do the over-adapting. You let it adapt to you. But in order to do that, you've got to give your it a picture of you so it can actually see you for who you are.
Okay, I'll be more of myself. And, yeah, I just wanted to ask a second thing, if I may. On top of support for adrenal fatigue and exhaustion, I'd love a blessing for, I'm going to go view a place to live later today in a few hours, and there's a lot of other applicants, and I just hope that I'm supported and I get to be chosen to live there.
Okay, great. Great. Well, before you go, you have in mind what your best option is, the best thing you've got to offer, the leasing company or the landlord. You think about what you've got to offer that's going to create them liking you. See, that gets back to the first thing I was telling you. You don't want to over-adapt them. You want them to want you.
Okay. That's wonderful.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. It makes all the difference. I gave them a link to my website. my art and the church website and our blessing website, and boy, did they want me.
Yeah. That's wonderful advice. Thank you so much. Bless you. Thank you.
Okay. You are very, very welcome. And we're going to go on to, well, Stormy's here. Hello, Stormy. I hope you're doing well.
Yes, Brenda. I have a special request, and it is, as the blessing call supports my organization, Stormy's Music, supports the blessing call. And in this, I have a request I have been praying for many years. It's a big request. And it is that all of sports from high school and college and all of the schools be replaced with gardening.
Wow.
Getting back to the earth, getting back to gardening, give it all up for the gardening. That's a request I've had for a long time, and I want to join our unique organizations as we support each other already in accomplishing this, and however long it takes. We let God take care of that. That's a big request, but there is no request too big or small.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely support you in that, Stormy. And it's a great idea. It's a wonderful idea. So, and it's not out of sight, really, for kids to love it, because I was a kid when I first started loving gardening. You know, I really love to plant the seeds and see it create life. It gave me a lot of hope for my life. So there's hope. There's hope. It is a big, it would be a very, very big job, Stormy. No question about it. But you always think big. So we'll just go with that. How's that?
And the first, where I live at Eagle Inn Apartments, an old high school from 1940s turned into apartments. Behind me is an old football field, and I keep thinking how wonderful that would be to turn it into a garden. And now my front window, there is a Pee Wee League football field in front of me. How great that would be to be turned into a garden. So many football fields just waiting, so many baseball diamonds waiting to be turned into gardens. Yeah. So I think and conceive of the whole picture how this could be, just to get our hands back into the dirt.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I support you in that, Stormy.
I've thought it, but I want to solidify it today.
Well, you know, everything starts with expressing your dream. So it's a great start. It's a great start. Well, Stormy, many, many blessings for you for this lovely day. And I know you're local to me, so we're both sharing this bright sunshine today.
Yeah. I do have a new catchphrase for Texas.
What's that?
Any day under 100 is a cool day in Texas.
Amen.
And it's under 100 today. I haven't been out my door until it was only 99 degrees today. It's going back up, but I went out and that's it. I ain't going out my door till it's 99 degrees.
Right. Well, thank you for the news on that, Stormy. We've got to take that call. All right. Okay.
Well,
lots of love. Bye-bye. All right, Caroline, you're on.
Hi. Well, thank you for everything you do, as usual, Glenda. I have a request for a very dear friend of mine whose father just died. He died only, less than a week ago. His name is Dr. Gerald Edgar Smith, and I'd like blessings not only for his smooth transition to whatever awaits him, but also there are some gnarly administrative problems that his daughters are having regarding his burial and funeral, gnarly government administration glitchy things happening. So I'd like those to smooth out as well. So that's the blessing I would like today. And then also there was something I wanted to say about planning if people want to stay longer at the hotel that the blessing seminar is going to happen at. But first of all, please, a blessing for the passing of Dr. Gerald Edgar Smith, and also for the funeral and burial preparations go smoothly too.
Thank you. And yes, we have him on our list. It's on mine, and I know that others will remember him too. He's in the place that he will receive blessings eternally and fulfillment for his work on earth. So he'll probably be the one giving you blessings pretty soon. Transition is a challenging thing. And I will take that away from the situation. I have noticed from others who were close to me in my life. It's a little bit like what Elizabeth and Diane and I were talking about, moving to a new location. Where do I go? What do I do? Who are my friends here? What's happening? Where's the welcoming party? There is a transition. And I'm not saying it's bad. It's just like transitioning to any other place at first. Well, I noticed with Larry, he was still pretty much in a coma for a few days. And then he was a little bit disoriented. And then it was like celebration and fireworks, So we do need to extend our compassion and our heartfelt devotion to those we love who are passing. Because even though we're losing them, and we're sad about that, they're losing us, and they're sad about that. And the transition works both ways. So it's not just something we feel hurt about. When we have a severance of a love connection, it's something that we have to deal with. Little brand new babies born, they sleep most of the first few days. And they're not really ready, except for occasional crying episodes. They're not really with the world yet. So they're in transition. And we need to embrace them with the deepest love of our heart, knowing that they're not quite here yet. If you don't believe me, look in the eyes sometimes of a baby that's been here less than 3 days, and those eyes are still in heaven. They're not here. They're not focused on anything but the universe. So it's an interesting proposition.
Wow. So let me also say that I was able to negotiate the lower rate for your seminar to stay a little bit longer, because I'm going to be staying over on the Sunday night. I'm also staying over on Wednesday, Thursday, as well as Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And even though that's not in the booking that comes up when you go to the Westin, if you call Kim at the sales office of the hotel, she will give you that rate, or at least she did for me, so I can't imagine that she wouldn't for everybody else. And I felt some people might want to stay over on Sunday in particular if they want to do the blessing in the evening, because it might be really too late to be able to get a flight that night anyway to participate.
I think if it's like every other time we've been together, people feel like they have adopted a whole new family, and they want to have dinner together. They want to spend some time together, meeting, sharing email addresses, phone numbers, and we do have a blog site for our blessing givers, so everybody's going to be connected that way. But still, it's not face-to-face. So, yeah, people do like to stay. And continuing with what I could add to that, yes, ask the Secret Kim. She will extend it. Now, my agreement with the hotel is this, and I asked them right off the bat for that privilege, because we've always had it before, and they said as long as there are rooms easily available, which almost always there are on a Sunday evening, even on a Monday evening, but they will extend the same rate on over. Only if it was pushing into a holiday and there was a shortage of rooms would our break stop, but that's not happening for us. So all you have to do is ask for it. And I do have an announcement to make that is, well, it's sad to me and a little worrisome, but I'm embracing it with faith in all the goodness that could surround it. The Lamb and the Lion will not be on view here. I was hoping when I moved here that I would be in close cooperation with the church that had acquired it, and we would have it part of our seminars for as many years as I was here, or as long as I was here. And unfortunately, there were some stressful changes to that church. They lost their two prime presiding ministers, and with that, funding for the church. And so the church had to close, and they leased it to another spiritual organization. And because of that, they had to take all of my paintings off the wall. And they had a total of, I believe, 16 of my paintings. It was the Glenda Green Art Museum. And they are all off. I have no idea where they are, and no one will speak to me. So, I'm sure they were taken down to protect the paintings. And they probably have been avoiding me for fear that I will try to put some kind of partnership claim on the works of art, which I'm sure they do not want to extend, because that art collection is the wealthiest thing they own. So I have talked with Yeshua about this, and he said, don't worry, I'm safe. The angels are safe. Mother Mary's safe. And it'll come about as soon as the organization has healed and put itself back together. So he said, just don't stretch yourself over. So we're not going to be able to offer that as an experience. And I felt it was only right to tell you, in case some people might be coming early or staying late, to have that. And I'm very, very sorry about that. Now, the painting of Yeshua that was painted from another visitation of Yeshua in Sedona, he appeared to me frequently while I was writing the Keys of Yeshua. And I painted a second portrait of him. That will be at the seminar. And the painting, which is called First Light, will be at the seminar. And I'll have some of my
wonderful
that will create a gallery for you. So your trip will not be without some of his artistic presence. But I'm so sorry about the other announcement. I have been in shock over it for 3 months. It took me about 2 months to get located, and then I called, and there was nobody there. And as I began to research, I found two retired ministers who told me, like a widow's thread, of how I might find somebody, but nobody will answer my emails. Nobody will answer my calls. So I even spoke with an attorney, and I do have rights to see these works of art because I retained the copyright, which means it is my legal right to see them. But he and Jess were both advised it's better just to keep the peace and let them emerge in good time and good faith. So I'm doing that and holding my faith very strong that it will happen when it's time. So I started to take up time for that announcement, but I felt that everyone coming should know that. And by the way, we are building up attendance and people are asking for roommates, so if that's an issue for you, just feel free to call us. And as of this week, we will have a dedicated telephone line so that Tiffany can get all of your calls. And I'm going to let her handle all of the enrollments and the navigation between you and the hotel. The Westin Hotel is a wonderful hospitality hotel. It's probably better than any we've ever used before, just in terms of concierge service, customer service, hospitality, assistance in getting around, and their beds. Their beds actually go up for auction every year because anyone who stayed there wants one of them. They're unbelievable. And when I was looking at the hotel, that's the first thing she told me, that she said, lay down on the bed. And I did. And I said, okay, now how am I going to get up? And the hotel, the restaurant has excellent food. So you're going to be well taken care of. Really, really for less than you could pay. Half the price of a Motel 6. If that is, if you have a roommate, even less than a hotel, Motel 6, if you pay full rate. So, I got the best deal in town. And it always works out for us because they want our energy there. They want us there. And, that's kind of the advice I was giving at the beginning of our call. You know, you move into a new area, you need to adapt because you want them to want you. And that's actually a bigger piece of negotiation than anything else. Make yourself who people want to be with. Now, we get to one of the number one reasons why you may want to be a blessing giver. The more you are a blessing to the world, the more people want you around them. The more everybody wants to be around you, the more people believe everything you say, the more people want whatever services and products you create. As you become a blessing to the world, you become the most desired piece of creation to be acquired into anybody else's life. That's a fact.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing. Okay, I'm so looking forward to the event. Thank you so much, Glenda.
You're so welcome, and you'll love it. And I can't wait to meet you. Okay, we're going to go on.
And I can't.
Oh, I'm sorry. I cut you. I didn't mean to cut you off, Carolyn. But we got your wishes. So, we're gonna take Eva on the call now. Eva?
Hello.
Hi. Hello, yes. I have a request for my, niece and her husband. This is the daughter of my, oldest sister who passed away, how long ago was that? It's quite a while, over a year. And, I had put them on the blessing call, quite a while back when that had happened because my sister had never upgraded their will. And, the daughter for a time was afraid of losing even the house because her brother was the executor and, was doing a very, what would you call it? Wanted all of the books that, to find out how much the mother had given her, because of her taking care of her and so forth. And, so that still is not settled. However, she does know that she will have the house and part of the farm. And the reason I'm calling is she really does love her brother and she wants good relations, but she doesn't know how to come about that. And she said I ended up talking to her about Love Without End, and she really liked that and wants to have the book, so I will be ordering a book. And then I also went to order the little book that's about the way, because I realized the new book doesn't have your story, and I wanted her to have your story, which I told her a little bit about. And so I will be ordering that for her. If by any chance you would have the energy to write a little note, that would be wonderful, but if not, that's okay too.
Put a note, where it gives you an opportunity to send a message. See, sure, and do that because, Tiffany gets all the orders now. I am so blessed to have an assistant that is such a lovely, lovely, efficient, devoted woman. And you'll meet her. Yeah, everybody who comes to the blessing service will meet her.
Well, unfortunately, my health is still not that great. So I will not be able to come to the blessing.
I understand, Eva, but you can be with us in spirit. And
yes, I will definitely be there in spirit. Yes. I would like a blessing for myself as well because I really want this to be over and able to function again the way I would like to function. But so far it's not happening, and so many things seem to get in the way. Like now, my this week, my son-in-law came down with COVID, and then my daughter apparently got it too, although she didn't test positive. But that kept me from going to some doctor's visits and lab work that I was supposed to have. So I just want Yeshua to come and be with me to somehow negotiate what needs to happen for my health. But my niece is very much interested in the book, and I'm happy about that. So we have a very good relationship. I would love to be able to fix the relationship between them and her other sister whenever he had anything to say about her, about the estate. He would go through the older sister, tell her, you tell Carol, this and that and whatever. Mm-hmm. So it's a sad thing, but what she really wants is, I want to be able to get rid of the anger. She said, I do love him very much, but she says, I do sometimes really have feelings of anger because of the way he has been acting and not communicating with her. And so that's a sad situation, and I would love to see somehow all of this in the past and find the love which the family is meant to have. So blessings for Carol and Guan, and blessings that she will be able to, she's doing much better than she was for a while, and really knows that she needs to get, just let things go, and let the love be there for her brother without the troubles and the anger.
When the situation will go also. It will go also. She just needs to be patient and let God deal with it. Okay.
Yes. And that's what she's really trying, working on.
You know, so. You know, it's a lesson for all of us, Eva. Letting go is the biggest part of forgiveness. We do not have the power to, you know, I want to turn this into a little bit of a message here, Eva. Thank you so much for your call. And I'm going to take a couple of minutes to develop this into a message for everybody. So often we think that when we forgive someone, we're saying it was okay for you to do that. And so we pull back and we won't forgive. Well, it's not for us. We don't have the right to tell anybody it's okay or not okay to do anything. That's between them and the law, between them and God. It's not our privilege to do that. We do not have the power to restore anyone's soul. The restoration of the soul is an act of God, an act of the Holy Spirit. Our role in forgiveness is simply letting go. Because actually, when we I'm going to give you a little parable. Yes, you just flashed this in my mind. From when I was a kid, and I don't know if any of you ever did this when you were kids, but one of the things we would do on the playground is play tug of war. Now, tug of war was played with a rope that was tied somewhere in the middle, but there was like a 12, 14 foot extension of it being lashed, and on one end was one puller, on the other end was one puller, another puller. And in the center was a mark. We were trying to pull each other over the mark. Okay? Who was stronger to pull the other over the mark? Okay? Well, and we were allowed to recruit people to grab us by the waist and pull us, over, you know, more on our side, and then the other one would get somebody pulling on their side, and sometimes we would stack up five people per side pulling to see who could get the other one over the center mark. Okay? Well, one day we decided, we kids on my side came, we decided on cue we were gonna just let go of the rope. Well, everybody on the other side crashed into each other and fell down. So guess who didn't get pulled over the side? That's what forgiveness does. It drops the rope. You stop holding on to anger is like playing tug of war. You're trying to see who can pull the other to their side. You can try to make them agree with you and say you were wrong. You trying to make them try to, the other way around, both ways. Each trying to make the other agree. Okay, you were wrong. You were right. I was wrong. No, you were wrong. I was right. And you're pulling over the center mark. Well, what happens when you let go of the rope? That's what forgiveness does. And that's the only human power we have in forgiveness, I think. It's all. You do not have the power or the right to make somebody a new person. You do not have the power and right to reform their behavior. You do not have the power and right to give them immortal exemption from this. That is between God and them, the Holy Spirit and them, the power of love and them, and the jurisdiction of law and them. It's not your right. Why are you holding on to the rope? For heaven's sake, give somebody this story. The tug of war story. That's what we're playing. And it's so easy to let go. And you're free. Those of us who let go didn't fall down. Those of us who didn't let go walked away and laughed. Okay? There's your parable. Right there. And, don't think you've got to make somebody wrong before you forgive them. Because if you don't make them wrong, then they might return back to do it again. That's what holds most people on that tug of war. You want to make sure that they knew they were wrong. Then you'll let go. Okay, as long as you know you were wrong, I'll forgive you. That sounds really human to you? It sounds really, really, really human to me. I can't tell you how many counseling sessions I've been through. Finding out, well, what is the bottom line? What would it take for you to forgive that person? Well, you know, I just want my husband to know that it was wrong to cheat on me. Then I'll forgive him, and we'll have an equitable divorce. I just want him to know he was wrong. And I'm not going to forgive him until he knows he was wrong.
Look,
Rhonda, that's between him and God. You have the right to a divorce settlement. His wrong actions are between him and God. You're not going to be able to change him. And admitting that he was wrong to you isn't going to keep him from doing the same thing to somebody else. Okay? We've got to stop thinking that we are the resurrection and the life, because we're not. Jesus, Yeshua, is the resurrection and the life. Our Holy Father is the immortal redemption and the life, the eternal life. The Holy Spirit restores our lives so that we are made new again. Okay. Making somebody new is a divine proposition, not a human proposition. All right, that was my message for today. And I think we could stop a lot of wars by just understanding that. Okay, let us take the next question. Jerome, hello, you're on, my friend.
Hello, this is Jerome.
Can you hear me, Jerome?
Yes, I can. It's just great. And just to share with you, a neat family get-together we had on Friday, and it was up in Bemidji. It was my son Paul with Amber and Vinny, and he's 8 years old, and we were at the motel, and they had a hot tub and a swimming pool, and so we went into the...
Right.
I jumped in the swimming pool, and we just had the most glorious times together we've ever had. After that, we got to get a good dinner, and then the next day we went to their home up in Bemidji, because we're right next to it there in the same town. And it was the most fun time we've ever had together as a family in our lives, and it was just how to enjoy life where you are and have fun in the water, and... He's 8 years old, and he just was jumping in and out of the water and all the time, and then we got to go to their home and share love and light and peace and joy, and then we got to come home, but it was just great to be with the family together, and God's love and light and peace and joy and happiness were just something we've never felt this great in our lifetime, so wonderful. I thank you for all your love and life and peace and joy, too.
You have come to the point where you're able to have that kind of experience. So
Yes. Congratulate
yourself also, Jerome. You know, whenever we can be together in the spirit of love and the right attitude and the expansive openness to life, we become a blessing.
Well, thank you for all the love and light you are, too, and for everything you do to keep us all thinking of love and light with God and peace and joy. But it was just the most fun we've ever had for a long time, and keep up the love and light and peace and joy that you are to share with others. And I just thank you for everything with everybody you deal with, too.
You are so welcome. And you know, Jerome, when it just keeps getting better, what does that tell you? Okay. You know, I've got just one more caller right now, so I'm going to take 5 minutes to give another message because you inspired it, Jerome.
All right.
Now this is a message I know everyone can appreciate in terms of creativity and right attitude and goodwill and all of the intangible qualities that make up human life. But I also want to tell you that it bears out. It bears out on the most material level as well, the physical level of rocks sliding down mountains, the very particle level of the universe, electrons exchanging electrons. Okay, it's true for every level of existence. And here's what it is. Momentum is actually the only free energy in existence. And that's a scientific fact. When a particle actually gains a certain level of momentum, it travels without resistance. It is propelled without force. It's literally free energy. Momentum creates free energy. I want to tell you something about when I was writing Love Without End, or actually when I do any kind of office tour. I do not sit down ever to do a 15-minute task. Well, I won't say never. If there's an emergency, of course I would do it. But if it's electively creative, I do not sit down at my computer, at my easel, or anywhere else unless I've got at least 2 hours to work. Because I know that the first 15 minutes are going to be sorting out everything I'm going to do. The next 15 minutes will be putting it together. The next 30 minutes will be generating the creative force to push through all the barriers to get myself really humming along. And then I'm going to hit the breakthrough point. And in that, from that breakthrough point on to the end of that 2 hours, I will get more accomplished. I would get the equivalent of 4 hours of work accomplished in compared to the first hour I had to push through.
Right.
And this is true about regaining your energy, everybody.
Yes.
Okay? You have to keep doing the right thing and have right. enough faith to keep doing it, and you will hit the breakthrough point.
Correct.
This is the same thing in relationships. Social problems, negotiation problems, continue with your persistence, your courtesy, your vision, your strategy, and you will outlast the other people because they're going to get up and leave the table and come get some coffee and come back. They've broken their momentum. This is true on the football field. This is true on the soccer field. This is true whether you're playing chess, the guy, the gal that stays at the table is likely the one that's going to win. This has been studied as a human resource, and it works in everything. You stay with anything you want to learn. You stay with it. Don't give up. Everybody runs into resistance. There's always resistance for particles, for rocks, for electricity, for human energy. You know, the thing is, back in the day, and I'm saying back in the day for me, we may have some youngsters on the call, but for me back in the day, I loved to run. And I was a great, I wouldn't have been a great competitive runner because I had short legs, you know, but I was a good runner. I loved to run. And I loved to reach that break free point. Where my legs became wheels. I mean, really, I was like a human body on wheels. You know, even though I was a good runner, I was in good shape athletically, the first few minutes of a run, always you feel resistance.
Yeah.
You're not breathing as deep as you could. You're not breathing as full as you could or with such a rhythm that you could. Your body's not moving in all the rhythm it could. Your left-right balance movements are not everything as smooth as they could be. You finally get into what we call the patterns movement, where you've got everything put together, but you're not humming yet. And then you hit the break-free point. And it takes less energy to run the second mile
that right. It does during the first month.
Correct. Okay.
Now, there's a teaching by Yeshua about this. He said, someone asked you to walk the first mile with him. Walk the second mile.
Uh-huh. Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
He knew this. He practiced this. He didn't ever let anybody stop short of the break-in point.
Uh-huh.
You got to reach the break-in point, and you will reach it. Actually, it's true in space, the travel, the launching of rockets.
Oh.
What's it called? It's called the, there is a word for it. It's the break-free point. It's where it no longer, the free,
yeah.
I just lost that word. Can you think of it, Jerome?
No, I can't think of it either, but
I'll think of it 5 minutes for now. you move into the free motion after a certain point. You don't require any more, you know, any more launching power. You don't require it. You're in free motion. So
free motion.
It's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's true of any form of motion, any form of energy. Now, let's take it into the spiritual energy. Well, but do we need it there? Isn't spirit free?
Uh-huh.
Yes, my friend, spirit is free.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what resistance looks like. In spirit, it looks like doubt. It looks like fear. It looks like holding back.
Right.
It looks like I better be sure about this before I get into it. So even in spirit, there are resistances we have. Okay? I'll tell you who illustrated that extremely well. The Apostle Thomas, after Yeshua made his first appearance after the resurrection. Everybody else went into free launch. It was like, oh my God. He's here.
Yeah.
And Thomas says, well,
wow.
You mind if I touch that wound?
Yes.
You mind if I touch you? That's what resistance looks like in spirit.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes.
So, even the strongest of us, even the best of us, okay, I'll show you something talking about even the best of us.
Uh-huh.
Yeshua's prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Before his arrest, reflected resistance of spirit. Like, Father, are you sure I'm supposed to do this?
Right.
You know, it's going to hurt.
Right.
So even the best of us can have resistance in spirit. And once we reach the break-free point, nothing's gonna stop you, my friend.
Yes.
And that's where you actually become a blessing.
That's what we did.
Exactly. We go through all of these steps in our blessing seminar. We get you to that place where you're in the break-free zone. Jerome, what did it feel like when you got there, huh?
Oh, it was, words can't even come close to it because you just have the feeling it's of the universe of all possibility and love and light and peace and joy and everything else that was there.
That's where all miracles happen, my friend. That's where all miracles happen.
It was the connection of spirit. At the highest level I've ever felt of my life.
Okay. Well, thank you for that confirmation because, you know, it's important for people to know, not just me.
Right.
And I want to use myself as another example on the giving of miracles in relation to what I'm talking about on right now on arriving at the free zone. Okay. Now, I came down with unbearable pain in January of 22.
Okay.
On a scale of 1 to 10, I was in a 10. I mean, it was as bad as it gets. And
I went to see a spinal surgeon, who then put me with a pain management specialist who got the pain under control, but that, of course, wasn't handling the problem. And we didn't yet know what the problem was. And I could not ride in a car. I had to travel in the back end of an SUV. I didn't want to pay for ambulance services. But I got there that way. So I got to my pain management doctors. They worked with me for a while, and I didn't know how I was going to move. But finally, something just a little bit shifted. It didn't go away, but the pain management doctor did one procedure, and he said, I think this will hold you for maybe 3 to 4 weeks until you can get up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area where you can find a specialist that's capable of really diagnosing what's wrong here. And so I said, all right, great. So we got it to where I could ride in a reclining front seat with a pillow to my back, and I moved up here. Of course, everybody else had to do the work. But I got myself transported up here.
Good.
Moved into my new home. And I researched all the physicians up here. The very, very best rated. That was hard to get in to see. I mean, usually a long waiting line. I called to get an appointment, and he saw me the next week. Isn't that lovely? Isn't that lovely? I went to see him. He looked at the CAT scans and the x-rays and so forth, and he said, well, you know, Miss Green, I don't think I want to do anything invasive on you. I've just got a hunch here that you're going to get put back together.
Good.
Now, how many times do you hear that from,
a
surgeon? From a surgeon.
Yeah.
Okay. He said, I want to put you in physical therapy for 2 months, and then we'll see where you are at that point, and we'll take a new look at it. Well, I went through physical therapy and didn't get any results. It helped me to live with the pain. It taught me the right movement so that I could live with it. Okay.
Yeah.
So it was a positive thing to do. But he said, no, I tell you what, we're going to cancel that because I don't want to use up all of your insurance credits on something that's not working. So he prescribed a really advanced scan on my spine that was actually going to hurt. It was going to be very painful. But he said, it's all we can do. That we got to do it. And I said, okay, all right. I resisted it first, and I said, all right. We're good.
Right.
Okay, I signed up to do it, and I did it. And the results were percolating for about a week. And that's why I delayed on accepting paid enrollment for a seminar, because I thought, oh my gosh, what if this doesn't work? You know, that's my resistance coming in, even though I have faith. But, all right. Well, Yeshua appears to me right after I had that scan. He says, you're going to be fine. I want you to go full speed ahead on this seminar. We need these blessings in the world. We need this. You're going to be fine. Okay, well, the next day, I woke up without any painful movement at all. It was like normal. And I thought, but I got to be careful. And like, but that was my first response, but I got to be careful. You know, you never know when I might make a wrong move. But night, I was listening to some music I love, and I was sitting in my chair feeling, dancing with my hands and feeling lots of rhythm, and I thought, I'm going to stand up and see if I can swing to the rhythm here. And nothing hurt, so I thought, I'm going to push it a little bit, see how far I can go. I used every dance motion I have ever known in my life. No pain. I did over. No pain. I jumped. No pain.
Yeah.
It was, like, gone. I went back to see my spinal surgeon 2 days ago, and he said, well, I don't know what happens, but your spine is perfect.
You are perfect. That's great.
He said, well, it's perfect. And he said, I kind of knew something positive was going to happen for you. I just didn't know what it was going to be.
Right.
Because he was reading into probability. He was working with the process. But now here's the message I want to say to all of you. because you think, because your miracle doesn't happen right after. Believe me, I was praying day and night back in January when I was in a level 10 pain. Believe me, I was praying.
Right.
I had to finish selling my home. I had to move. I didn't know where I was going to move. I was praying, my friend. Well, the miracle didn't come in. What?
Yeah.
I was into deep resistance of the miracle.
Right.
Now, do I have faith in God? Yes, I do. Do I have faith in myself? No, not always.
Right. That's okay.
Okay? Do I have faith in the process? No, not always. Do I have faith in other human beings? Sometimes. Not always. You see? There's none of us so good that we are not taken through the zone of resistance. Even Yeshua. None of us so good we can't walk through the zone of resistance. Then we walk through the zone of probability, working with the probability, and then learning how to live with the pain. That was my last step. Learning how to live with the pain. It was a process of gradual acceptance.
Gradual.
And then I had to accept this very painful test that was going to reveal exactly the condition my spine was in. And then my doctor revealed to me, well, you're fine. And I said, so I don't need to see you again. And he just said, I hope not. So, he said, your case is closed. And I went, oh, hallelujah.
Yeah.
But I'm saying this to all of you because you may lose faith if you don't get what you want right away. And I'm teaching you about this law of momentum. That's a powerful teaching, my friend. You wonder why some people are more successful. You might want to, sometimes if you don't know about Tony Robbins, listen to some of his motivational teachings. They have a lot to do with sticking to it and grabbing the energy and walking with the momentum until you're flying.
Yes.
I mean, his life is an illustration of that. And these people that find the momentum, they're no better than you and I.
Yes.
They just know the process.
The process, correct.
They know the process, my friend. And we want to teach you that process because we need the lovers of God to be the blessings of this world.
Yes,
we need you.
Yes, we need you. Yes. And the thing happened to me last fall when I was wondering about the universe. And I said I wanted to go there. And I went to my church, and I sat down with a friend of mine who's a drummer. He started drumming. I left my body. I went out into the universe. And while I was out there, I saw six stars. And I went inside the six stars. And words can't come close to what I felt with God and Spirit in the universe. And it was the most astounding thing of my life. And so these things are part of us too. And as we ask and as we pray, as we want to receive from the universe, it's there for us. And thank you for helping all of us to remember that. And you do that with your love and your light and your peace and your joy and all the spirit that you've always been. So thank you for getting us to remember how to do this.
You are welcome, and all of you are my pride and joy. You're my family. You are all my pride and joy. So it is 4 o'clock now, so Jerome, you and I really did a great job moving us toward the blessings, but we've got one more caller, and so we want to open up that line, and then we'll move on. So bye-bye for now, Jerome.
Bye-bye, too.
Okay. Hello.
Hi, Glenda.
Or Caroline.
Yes. Hi. There are a community of people
that are involved in Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. And unfortunately, there is a bank that many of them are invested in that, that claim to have all loans collateralized, and they did not. So around the world, there's a few billion dollars that are on this exchange, and they ceased all trading or movement of funds. And there's many desperate people on Twitter. Some are suicidal. Their retirements are there. Their families are there. They're saying their spouses don't know. And I wanted to send a prayer to that, the entire Celsius community, and getting through this and recovering what they can for their funds and healing from this experience.
Oh, yes. I'm so sorry to hear that. You know, I knew what a high risk it was, and so I kind of stayed away from that. I'm not saying it's bad, because I think it's leading the way toward a new currency that can be very valuable for world economy, but it's still in a very high risk state for sure. And so, yes, my prayers are with them, and I know what a shock it must be.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Well, everybody, I want you to be in that place of receiving where you're letting go of whatever resistances you have. Please know that the blessings and the miracles already surround you. They are already here. It's up to us to receive them. I'm going to change our mode from Q&A to lecture now. All right, but I'm still here. So just take a deep breath. Okay, hold it for a count of four, and then share it. And bring it back in with new air for a count of four. Receive and absorb it for a count of four. And then again. And while you're doing your four square breaths, shake out your arms and your legs and your neck. Even raise your eyebrows so you release the tension in your scalp. You might be surprised how much stress you actually carry in your scalp, because the brain is such a stress-generating organ. So, just again, turn your head both sides. Tilt it up and down. Shake your shoulders. Twist your torso. Okay. Stretch your legs. Let go. Relax. And the really great importance of this breathing exercise that we do is it puts your body in a state of receiving and giving and sharing and nurturing, which is what blessings are all about. So just enjoy that, a time without words or even prayer, just to let your body be in a state of receiving. Even for the most non-physical miracles or non-physical blessings you would hope to receive, still, your body is part of it. And sometimes your body can be the biggest barrier to it. So, let's get in the right state of receiving. Now, as you continue to do that, I will say my prayer to Yeshua, our brother, the Lord of life, who is here with us, our link, our living link to God the Father. We ask that you not only be with us, but you help us open the door so that even though we're shy or may not have full confidence in ourselves, we can open ourselves to discovering what might be possible for who or what might be there with the answers to our need. or for how we might be a gift to others that we may provide what they need. Thank you for being with us always. And forgive us for not always knowing. We love you. We come here today because we love you. Because we know that with you we can make our life right. We can make our life open to all the great creations of our Father. We can really be the child of God we were created to be. And help us be a blessing to those we love. Help us be a joy to the world. Help us be an answer to someone. Something, anything someone is looking for. Help us to be that person who is the answer. We thank you for everything we will receive. And we know in faith it will be great. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me as we offer the blessing now? The rest of you, be in your prayer so that you can direct all of the blessings coming in to that which you most desire. Let us begin.
Amen. Amen and amen. Your blessing has been given. Now it's time for you to go and receive all that has been given. Accept it. Enjoy it. And release yourself into the spirit of faith. Bye-bye for now. And I look forward to being with you next week. Keep blessed. Have a blessed week.